Welcome to Prague Will Find a Way, your friendly neighborhood podcast. I'm Jonathan Block.
And I'm Jay Valade.
And we're joined once again by...
Tim Toddy.
Thank you, Tim, for last episode, the recap on Cruise to the Edge.
Yes. Very informative and enjoyable. Yeah, I mean... At least to me.
No, I learned.
I can't speak to our audience, but for me,
no, I thought it was good because it was. You read a lot of reviews about the bands and things between the bands, but it's nice to hear kind of like the day to day
and the ins and outs.
Yeah, and the ins and outs, and it's a lot of great bands. So,
today we're gonna go back to our thing that we did a couple weeks back and spend an episode about the news.
Yes, I've got some news items. I know Jay has some, Tim has some as well, so we'll just kind of start going through here. These are the ones I saw. Beat. Everybody hear about Beat? B-E-A-T, which is...
The new Adrian Belew band with Steve Vai, also on guitar, Tony Levin on bass, and Danny Carey from Tool on drums. Mm.
Yes, doing apparently the trifecta, the trio of albums from the early 80s.
By King Crimson.
Yes.
And sign of approval by Mr. Fripp himself.
Fripp approved.
Fripp approved and allegedly named the band as well. So it's early days. All we know, there's like a blurry poster online and a one date in San Diego at a place that is right down the street from where I stayed probably like 15 years ago. That they have this outdoor venue right down by the marina and at this hotel, and people are playing there. Tears for Fears were there when I was there, and I kind of kicked myself for not going, but we had...
I can't think of a better place to see an outdoor show than San Diego. You know?
Right.
I mean,
right?
Talk about temperate.
But we're hoping we're hoping for a greater tour. John has heard.
I thought dates now and I dates. Could be, you know, I could be just, this could be a rumor, but I heard 40 some odd dates, not necessarily consecutively.
Which would be cool.
I could be wrong. That would be very cool. I'm very interested to hear it all.
I've never seen Steve Vai or Danny Carey. Obviously, I've seen Adrian and Tony. But
the way, we have two very, very appropriate venues in Fairfield, Connecticut. Both Adrian and Tony have frequented one of them.
I saw Adrian at the warehouse, too.
Yes. So there are, you know, we're still here.
Come on back.
And then, we'll try to get him on the show.
that's our line every time somebody rolls into town.
And it's an easy commute for Mr. Levin.
It is. It's true.
I would even, up in Woodstock. You'll drive him?
I'll drive him. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. I'll send a car.
So I think we got to do that. We got to...
offer that service?
Yeah. Well, no. The people who do come to town... Yeah. Try to, you know, John Lodge is coming, and I'm sure John Davidson will be following there.
Honestly,
as well,
I was waiting till, you know, you kind of have to have a little heft behind you, which is more.
What do you
than...
mean? 200 listens.
we just need a little more subscribers. So we don't usually ask for them. But if you like it, feel free, please subscribe.
Is there any word that Beat will have any music of their own?
Oh, I don't know. I think they're probably just going to try it out on the road. And, you know, it's like the Crimson thing where they feel each other out and then they find out whether there's
something
to do.
They're going to start playing together. And I mean, both Steve and Adrian are both prolific writers, much less Tony and Dan. They all write. But Adrian and Steve Vai are extremely prolific. I find it hard to believe that after playing.
Who knows, though? Because you got to see what the chemistry is. Because what they'll come up with playing these other songs that they already know, or that they're learning, and see how they interact. Maybe it's not the forum for them to do that.
Maybe they're
going to be like, you know what?
Yeah,
it's clicking. Let's do it.
I'm just interested to see Steve Vai's take on it because, I mean, there's no doubt he could play the lines exactly the same in his sleep. And I found it interesting when they first announced this, people were like, oh, how Steve Vai. I'm like, have you ever listened? Like, have you not even listened to him, but like listened to him talk? Like, he's an extremely laid back guy who is an amazing guitar player. He would not be doing something like this
if he didn't think
that's what he's going to do. Right. I don't want to hear him do that. I want to see what he's that's so right. freaking amazing on his own.
Well, which is part of the Crimson ethos, right?
That,
you know, you gotta play the music, let the music play you or whatever. It's not going to be like, don't copy note for note. Let's hear what.
Yeah, I mean, people were never, I know there's like a misconception. People were never told what to play in Crimson. It was like, you know, you get the caliber of people that can play what the music needs. And, but yeah, so.
Well, I don't know, and you can tell me, but I don't know if that has happened 80s on as much as it did like in the middle 70s, because as we all know, the Bruford Wetton Fripp David Cross combo was always improvising.
Yes,
right. Yes. Always.
Yeah. I mean, the ship, much less the songs, there were always set parts in the set list.
Which I don't know if that happened as much in the 80s or even
it did
further.
Not happen in the 80s. Really, I mean, they had. Songs like Sheltering Sky would be vehicles for improvisation. But in the 90s, not
the
much either.
Kind of
there were some percussion things. But then again, the... I'm getting my
time. Light time.
Yeah, because the... Light. I mean, they would do some parts in the concert, because what was the album that was put out that was just all the improvs? Thrack Attack.
Yeah. Oh, right.
It definitely will be interesting to see. And then another great tour. John and the Band Geeks are coming back around.
Yeah, John Anderson and the Band Geeks. I don't know how many shows they're doing. I think it's like 20 shows, something. I'm in that zone. So they're coming to Connecticut. So I will be the representative that goes to.
Yes,
see them.
Unfortunately, we can't get the whole team there. No. So Jay will report back.
Tickets are a little pricey.
The difference is though that they're saying they're going to be doing original. They're going to be doing
right. They have an album that they're supposedly coming out with. So we'll have to see that all plays out.
Yeah, I mean, they could just not play like Gates of Delirium, and then they could play that whole
the full album.
Yeah, the full album. So, I don't know about the trade off.
Right, that's right,
no one needs. To hear roundabout, and I've seen All Good People again.
Well, they still got to fill the seats, but
I know
the seats are selling very well.
Did they play our owner? Did they play owner?
I don't recall if they did or not. They probably did. I mean,
they had to.
And that's what's funny. You know, you read certain things, and it's like, well, the promoter said we had to play certain things to get people in the seats. So
yeah,
for all you know, it's like owner's a foregone conclusion.
This day and age it is. I mean, I remember in the 70s or even into the 80s, people would get subversive, right? It was like they'd come out and play the hit as the first song or like the second song, and you can't do that. You know,
somebody did that recently, and I can't remember what show it was, and I'm like, wow, they played the one song I know right
away. Yeah,
that's what's going to happen this summer at the amp. Yeah. You know, Jenny.
Yeah, you get the hits, and nothing but the hits.
That's right. Well,
but I'm very excited about it. The last time I saw John Anderson was with the School of Rock, which was a really fun show. You could tell he's having a blast up there with all these high school kids. But, you know, they're learning all these things, and they got 80 kids up there playing Yes songs. But I think this is a more polished version. I didn't get to see them on their last tour, but apparently it went well enough for them to want to do it again and want to record some music
real
together.
Music, yeah. So, and there's obviously, you know, there's a lot of videos out there. You can check them out.
You can check them out. They got full shows of some of this stuff.
Right.
But they're not pro shots.
Right.
So be prepared.
Yeah, right.
But it's a prolific lineup of musicians. So, you know, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, they're
having fun. It's nice to see bands of people there smiling, and they're really having a good time.
And they're, so that will be fun. I don't even know when I'm seeing them, but it's over
June?
The summer sometime.
I think the tour is in June. Yeah. And speaking of Yes, I just want to bring this up because I'm just amazed. I read in Prague magazine, I think it was the 90125 edition, which, by the way, and Jay can attest to that. That was an amazing issue, an amazing article. The backstory behind 90125 was more than I ever imagined. It's very cool.
I'm kind of a student of that, so I've heard some of it before, but not all.
I'm humbled in your presence.
But you were getting to the point that there was the Rick Wakeman.
There's a Rick Wakeman, and by the way, the pictures. Those, there were some pictures in there that were like, you know.
Oh, the yes, yeah, ones.
The yes ones.
Yeah, those yeah. I had not yeah, seen.
That was
all
like,
right.
What, you know? Fair and, enough. God, they look I can't so claim young that. Too. But yeah, in that in that issue, there was a review of a Rick Wakeman show. I think it may have been November, the London Palladium, and I was looking through it, and then I'm looking through the set list, and I'm thinking, so Rick's got to be close to 80, right? I mean, or 78.
Late 70s. Somewhere.
And I'm like, okay, they played this album. It looks like he played four albums. And then he did an entire set of Yes music, like full Yes songs. And I went and listened to some of it because I think the set is... I think they may have put it out, you know,
as something. Yeah.
But I saw some pro shot video from it, and it was like... It was good.
Which is very cool. And he's touring now too, which is supposedly his final American tour, but it might be his final solo keyboard American piano.
Is he coming
American
here
tour.
Alone, or is he?
I think he's coming
with a band.
Yeah. I think he's coming up to Ridgefield.
Yeah, okay. He is playing Ridgefield.
Okay. Which, so now that I think of it, the Palladium show was live. I then went and listened to, they did put something out from a couple of years ago, but it was like four albums, and it was more of the stamina. I think that's what kind of amazed me, because, you know, you're talking at least a three to four hour show.
Well, no, it's a four-disc set.
Okay.
Yeah. On Spotify.
Okay.
Live at the London Palladium. Okay, so, 2023. Yeah. Four discs.
Yes. Okay. So it was a review of the show and the media. Yeah. And
3 hours and 22 minutes.
Yeah. Absolutely insane.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And there's a pro.
Unless did he do it over two nights, or was
no,
it
no, I think it was one night, unless they're making it seem like one night. But there was like a teaser video, and I watched that and I was like, wow, this is pretty good. He's got a female vocalist singing a lot of the songs, but the South Side of the Sky was the one that stuck out.
So it's not really, that's not so much new, but
no.
it's a recent release, but also just the fact that he is now touring the States.
Right, and he's going got, to be. You know, and I'm not trying to compare him to Steve Hackett, because, you know, it's not really, but it's not similar, but the fact that he can do, like I said, it's four albums, and it's
right.
Orchestra, the choir, the whole thing, and it just amazed me. That he could pull it off. Not that I'm acting like, Rick Wakeman just does these grumpy old men kind of thing. It is kind of interesting, though, that he can do that and he can do this. That's so kudos to Rick Wakeman. Moving on, Big Big Train, who we talked about a bit before, their new album. Have you? Did they play a lot of the new album?
They sure did. And again, you know, they highlighted Love is the Light, which was written by the new lead singer, Alberto Salvin. And the thing about the new album is that while we miss David Longden and what he brought as one of the founders with Greg Spaughton of the band, is that Berto brings new life to the band. He's a singer, obviously. He's a composer. He's a writer. And so... they spent a lot of time on this new album on arrangements. And a lot of it just was very fluid. And Greg had to get through the idea that he's no longer... his partner's gone, Dave.
Yeah.
And he's got to figure out a new way. And what he did was he stepped back and let the rest of the guys like Nick and the rest of the band kind of step in and bring their perspective to the music,
which
and
is
it shows.
Kind of nice.
Yeah.
So, I'm not a huge Big Train person. So, I don't know. I know their music, and I've listened to it over the years, but I'm not, like, diving in. But do they have... it's not like a constant lineup, is it?
Yes.
Because Dave Gregory was in the band from XTC at one point, right?
Yes, he was at one point. But the last...
so I'm always like, are there like different people going in and out? Or is it just that Dave was in there at one point?
The last several years, it's been the same lineup.
It's consistent. Okay.
And, you know, Nicky D is just spectacular. U.S.-based drummer playing in a predominantly U.K. band. And he calls this his band.
Right.
Even though, you know, obviously Spock's beard was his band for a long time, he's always felt like this is his real, his roots, because it's such a diverse group of musicians. I mean, they have a full brass section, a violin, you know, things like that. And what I like about the new album, getting back to that, is that a lot of their stuff that David would write was his history-based, the first rebreather, and things about Da Vinci, and you know...
This one's a little...
This is more light, and it's about the human existence, and you know, what...
Less specific.
That's right. and that helps, because it lightens up the music, and it gives the band space, too, you know, to just let go. And there's some really quiet moments. And then there's a couple, like, beneath the masts where they just go off, and it's prog.
Yeah.
And typically that's not their... They're kind of in between a folk... kind of feel,
right,
and a prog kind of feel. There's a lot of that,
which is more up my alley than the as many notes as possible heaviness.
Understood.
I had never really listened to them before at all. I'd heard their name. I'd listened to their songs, would pop up occasionally on the prog magazine samplers, the CDs.
Yeah.
But I never had any really preconceived notions of them. And then when David died, there was a lot of press about it. So I was like, oh, okay. To be honest, I was like, okay, so this band was more well-liked than I had imagined. So
I'm
like, so I should explore. So I listened to the catalog coming forward. I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. I said, but now I get to get in with essentially, you know, with a brand new, you know, like you said, 3 years. It was a while to wait. They put something out, though, at one point. I think there was a video or something where you got a taste of what the new singer was like. It was within a year that they had announced him.
Yes, because they did a couple of shows, a couple of light shows. They did the Ingenious Devices. That was sort of like an EP.
Okay,
And that was David. Yeah. But then Berto, you know, Albi, you know, they've been kind of throwing some of the new stuff out there, just to see how people felt. But there's a chemistry. I never got a chance to see them with David, which kind of bums me out, but they never came to the United States.
Right.
And so, you know, we talked about this before. When you lose somebody in a band that was really important and that meant a lot to you, because that was, you know, they were part of that part of that scene. But Albi brings it. He brings a really strong presence and vibe that's electrifying.
That's good.
Fun to watch.
All right. And I've listened to it, like, I think I listened to it like once and then partially another time. And then, of course,
we're hoping
homework gets in the way, so you can't just.
I'm hoping to turn a trier into a buyer.
But it's a good, never listened to it other than, you know, I want to hear this album, and I've listened to this a few times. It's great. It's nice. Yeah. It's definitely a grower. And they're touring, too. So.
They are.
On a second note, I've listened to the Father Robin stuff
again.
And
Father Robin.
I did like it. The second time around, I like it even more. So, you know, that one might.
Yeah, that is.
That one might stick.
I like that. I do like that. That's made up. It's like a Swedish kind of proggy.
Have you heard
super
of
group.
Yes. Okay.
and they've released. I think the first one came out in October, November. There were three of them. Yeah, it's definitely more kind of simple. Very Camel moments and things like that in it.
Nothing was anything wrong with
Camel. Yeah. The first cup, I think the first is the best. I thought that was the strongest. And then the second one gets a little quieter, and then the third one is kind of a mix of both. But it's definitely interesting. I have to admit that it made me seek out some of the people in the band, and I like their other stuff better. This one band, Zopp, Z-O-P-P,
which I listened to at your...
And it's very cool. I mean, there's a lot of touch points to other kind of prog.
Yeah.
All right, who else we got on this list?
Quickly, because this came over my consciousness, Tim Blake synthesis from Gong, if people don't know. He put out a couple of very landmark albums in electronic music in the early to mid-70s, and they're packaging it all up, so I think that's cool. Decemberists.
Yes, the Decemberists have a new album. New album coming out.
Two songs already available.
Yes.
There's one long
double
one.
Album.
Yes,
an on-purpose double album from the Decemberists.
I don't really think it's. I think it's very Decemberists. There's no doubt, but I don't think it's. This goes to something Jay and I have talked about before. Just because the song's 10 minutes doesn't mean.
True. So the new song that they put out, which I gotta look up what it's called. I love the Decemberists. My son and I are huge Decemberists fans. The rest of the family is as well, but mostly my son and myself, and you know, the Decemberists have some very prog moments.
Yes.
The Tane is very proggy, you know, a 4-part, 20-minute long thing. And then the whole Crane Wife album.
Yep.
You know, they're not technically prog as far as, but, you know, they're doing prog, even though they're doing it with their own, you know, thing. And I don't think they shy away from it, but they also are proggy in the way that they'll switch from album to album into all different things. You know, new one, I started listening to it, and I'm like, all right, 20 minutes or 18 minutes 18, or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, Joan in the Garden or something.
Yeah, Joan
in the Garden.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, you know, let's see, bring it on. And so I'm listening to it, and I'm like, it's not prog as you know it.
Right.
But then when you're listening to it, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, wait, is this a Hammond solo or something in the middle of the song?
That's right.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But there's slow, mellow.
It's a slow burn.
It's a slow burn, and it's very not a lot happening in certain parts of the song, but because they're giving it the time to happen is kind of part of the progginess of it, that they're actually treating it as a piece of music and letting those moments unfold, which, you know, to the point of our last conversation about too many notes, there's not a lot of notes.
Right.
No.
But at the same time, it has those moments that they let things simmer and build again. And so there is that progginess.
It has a very ambient quality to it. Whereas if you're not listening to it, it's still very pleasant. But if you do listen to it, there are things, different layers going on.
So you've listened to it.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
And it brings in sort of the mind, like you get like a little Pink Floyd where less is more. And as you say, to your point, that the prog just kind of creeps up on you.
It does.
And it's
all of a sudden
like,
you're like,
it's
you're
like,
in the middle of it.
It's a little slow, and I don't know where they're going, but it's pleasant.
Yeah.
And it's not going to make anybody unhappy listening in the room having a conversation, but then all of a sudden, wow. Now, where did that
wait,
come
how
from?
Did
how did that?
All of a sudden, you're in the middle of this big, giant thing that's happening, and you're like, when did they? If I came into the middle of the song, I'd be like, wow, how proggy. But then by the time where's the prog?
Like, where
did they? Where's the prog?
But it's like, how did they all of a sudden slip into 7 time?
And we're
here. When we were just kind of relaxing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like less is more a lot. There's a lot of bands that can do that well.
So they're on tour, coming on tour as well.
Really?
Yes.
So I'm going to go see them in New Haven.
Nice.
I have tickets to that as well. It's kind of funny because, you know, you name it, I'm almost going to it unless Tim wants me to go, and then I blow him off at the last minute.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, this is almost the opposite. A bunch of episodes ago, Jay and I were talking about, I think it was the Steve Wilson album or Gabriel, and I was bemoaning the way they just drip these things out. But in this case, I actually like it because it wouldn't, if it just came out, it would not necessarily have been something that I rushed to listen to.
Right.
But the fact that it was like a song or two, and they were so different, you know. They're
Burial Ground, the first, the first taster,
single,
it kind of reminds me of Sloop John Beaver, from the Beach Boys, or you know, and it's got James Mercer from,
right, Right.
So they
but it's very Genesis-y too. It's like, here's the single, here's Turn It On Again, or here's a later one. But if you go to the album, there's always something.
It's very poppy. You know? But the Decemberists kind of have that moment. They've got these poppy moments. Yeah. But they've got poppy moments singing about burial grounds.
Right.
And about two people jumping off a cliff together, you know.
Yeah, the first one very much brought XTC to mind in subject matter and whatnot. Okay, last thing that I got, and then we can move on. Nick Mason is 80. Saucerful. I think he's in his 80s, and he's still touring. Saucerful of Secrets, celebrating the early, still celebrating the early years of Floyd.
They're on tour?
They're coming on tour, I believe, in May and June. It's coming
America?
Out. No, not America. Oh. But they might come back. They have been here. They played
Australia.
That helps me none.
They played. I don't know what the hell they call it these days, but they played Oakdale.
They did.
But right. I was not. Yeah. I was out of town.
I listen to the Rock on Tours podcast all the time, which is Guy Pratt and
Gary
Gary Kemp from the band.
Yeah.
And also
Gary Kemp from Spandau Ballet. We can never forget
Guy Pratt
that.
From
Pink Floyd.
Ice House. Toy Matinee.
The list goes on.
Chardet, that's true.
I think he has. I don't know.
And they're always very enjoyable when I listen to them. So I'm like, I got to go see these guys when they come and play. But
I hope they come back because I'm really bummed that I missed last
time. If they're doing a European tour, as long as it's successful, they should probably.
Yeah.
They do have a Blu-ray out.
It's not the same.
It's not the same, but it is very good. It's good. Yeah,
live music. Come on, now.
If you like that era, which I happen to be, I love that era. It's great. So
I would like to see that if I had the opportunity. So there's not a ton of other news, but I did notice John and I talked about Record Store Day in a previous episode, and I noticed another new entry into Record Store Day, which was the demos of Hergis Ridge by Mike Oldfield. Getting released on vinyl for the first time. Apparently, they were on the 2 CD version when they did the re-release back in 2004 or something.
So this
like that.
Is similar to what we talked about a couple of times ago with the Jethro Tull Chateau Disaster tapes.
Yeah.
They pulled it from the deluxe version, making it an album. And I was wrong. They had originally said it was only going to be 3 sides. It was just going to be the album. But what they ended up doing is pulling a couple of other demos from like War Child.
Oh, okay,
and
putting them on the 4 side.
And putting them on the 4 side. So,
and it's similar to the Yes one that's going to get released on Record Store Day in that it's on the box set on the but it's not on vinyl. And so this will be the vinyl release for those.
Who never bought any other media player but a record player.
Right. But I don't know whether it's going to get released in America or whether it's just a British
A UK Record Store Day. Well.
So, we'll see.
Google's your friend, viewers.
Are you a vinyl person?
Not anymore. No.
You left vinyl behind when you left CDs behind, and you are now pure streaming.
Pretty much.
Well, I am too. I left CDs behind a decade ago, and I do not.
I know, but I can't not get these physical box set things.
I had that same addiction.
Wow.
Yeah. No. But what's happened is because of my workspace, and I can really listen to what I want when I want.
Well, you can give me all those Steve Wilson ones that you bought those. Just give them to me if you want to get rid of them.
And then I had hundreds and hundreds of albums, and I have a client who is in the music field. He owns Detroit Record Club.
Oh, cool.
And he's the guy that brought me to Kiss.
Oh, right.
Specifically, and Motley Crue. John 5 is one of his best friends, and Nikki 6 is one of his best friends. So we spend a lot of time. I'm turning him on to my music, our music, and he understands the players. He's just in a 4/4 world, and we're not. So,
right. That's funny.
Maybe Owner is the only song that actually you can dance to in Prague, right?
There's always an intersection somewhere. Well, hey, there's somewhere. The Yes remixed album, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But it's so easy to do everything here.
I agree.
And unfortunately, and your car, you know. And
no, I get it. Yeah. Yes.
You know, at this point, too, it's too late. Like, 10 years ago or whatever, I sold most of everything. You could still get a pretty good price for a bunch of stuff. These days, not so much.
Yeah.
Although you have a lot of rare stuff. Not that we're trying to pressure you into
selling all my stuff.
Yeah, and by the way, we're not hating
that's,
on...
That's
we
my don't second
need,
act.
Yeah, we don't need
that's
people.
My second act,
there
John.
You go. Okay.
Yes.
We're gonna selling do, all my...
You gotta open a store. 1 year only until
it's,
the
it's
shop is empty.
Your own record
yes.
store. Dogwood Records.
You got any news, Tim? Any good releases or stuff coming
well,
up?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of the European Prague scene. So, you know, I want to continue to just push, you know, bands that are kind of on the periphery, not the band periphery itself, but it's another another great band with another great album. But, you know, we're kind of getting into the season where new releases aren't going to happen. It just, this is... Bands are going on tour. Right. The new releases were the last 6 months.
Yeah.
So I know Steve Hackett. I want to bring him back into the picture because he is selling out stadiums in the south of the United States right now. And that's pretty cool because...
I'd like to have him come back up this way.
He should. I don't know why he doesn't.
We saw him locally, and that was a fantastic show.
Really
I think we talked about
show.
This last
Same
time.
Same thing, but... two sets,
yes,
you know, his
right.
solo stuff, and then it was right after the box, the Premonition. It was right after the Premonition
right.
box set, because they were selling it there.
Yes, did I buy that?
I think
that
you may have bought it.
I know it's in the other room.
Did
I
you buy it there?
Of course you did.
I don't know if I bought it there.
I don't think you did.
I think I got it online.
I think he would have.
He's going to be the...
He didn't pay retail.
There's Gamblers Anonymous. There's Alcoholics Anonymous. There's vinyl.
Box set Anonymous.
Right. Yes. The one thing, though, is that Jay...
Go ahead, look at the camera.
The one
Jay.
The one thing, though, with Jay is he will wait for a good price. Like, he will not overpay.
I will not.
So.
My name is Jay, and I'm a box set aholic.
The first step.
The first step.
Stop.
Take... Responsible.
Super. I'm a super deluxe. Whatever it is.
Super deluxe edition junkie.
That's right.
Junkies.
Somebody has to do that.
But anyway,
I spend my money on VIP tickets.
There, you are a junkie.
So I see
that
on your
too.
Note card, "Whom God Destroyed." I'm glad because that on Apple Music, every time stuff comes, it's interesting the way Apple Music isn't really putting it in categories. It's the way that people are tagging it. And
right.
Just an aside, have you ever heard of the band? They're called Elder.
Yeah.
They're like a doomy kind of band. Yeah. But then they kind of went proggy. Mm-hmm. And their last couple of albums are really proggy. So I didn't know that. I knew their early stuff. And then I read something online. It was like, in this album. And then I think they did an album last year or something. At least I was like, wow. And there's some points where it's doomy. And then all of a sudden, like the Mellotron and the keyboard, you know, and the organ come in. I'm like, wow, this stuff is good. But anyways... This band was one that was recommended, and then all of a sudden last week I saw it pop up in the new releases. I didn't listen to it, but I was like, because I go in there and I'm looking at the titles of the songs, and I think the it's metal or something.
Well,
so
it's
explain.
So it's Sons of, so it's Ron Thal, Bumblefoot, and Derek Sherinian of Sons of Apollo.
Okay, yes, and formerly the Dream Theater. He was in Dream Theater. That's
right.
I got to be honest. I never listened. The Dream Theater, and then when he got in, I listened to that album. I like that album.
Yeah.
I
Falling Into Infinity.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice album.
It's a great album.
I think he's great. He's amazing.
Amazing
for keyboard.
Well, his Planet X stuff was ridiculous with Virgil Donati and Philip Bino on bass. I mean, you know, so Derek is a man, and this is the two of them from Sons of Apollo. It's heavy.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of kind of screamo and doom and death metal aspects to it. So
right up my alley.
Yeah. Really. No.
Hold on. He was he's in the band with Glenn Hughes and Bonamassa.
Black Country
Communion. Yeah. And
Jason Bonham.
Jason Bonham.
Wow.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Another
he gets
great
it right.
Band.
He's a good
another
keyboard player.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. That's a great.
How's the album? Is the album is the
album's
one?
Good? It's yeah. just Doomy. It's really heavy.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not up Jay's alley.
I don't know. It's a perfect day.
He's
for
not going. He's not going to buy the
box.
Set. He's not going to buy the box.
However, Marillion. Yeah. Speaking of,
I've never heard of them.
Yeah,
explain. I don't know.
they are releasing the Marillion Weekend stuff. They just released a single, but they're going to be doing the first show and then half of the second show from one of the over the past year.
Okay.
On DVD, Blu-ray, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they're gonna do later the second half of the second show and the third show. As right. part of the whole thing. So that will be
that's on. A whole I'm confused. Thing. Is it's it a two three. Separate
it's a 3-night thing that they are dividing in two. Right down the middle.
Okay.
And so the first single just came out.
Yeah, it was released yesterday morning.
Oh, I thought I listened to it last week.
Okay,
scooped you.
As always.
We'll give you that pass.
It was an in.
It's reprogrammed the gene live at Port Zealand.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So
and crazy outro. You know that he mentioned why.
Is this the weekend you went to or the European?
That was European, but they did the exact same set in Montreal.
Right.
So I will buy this because it will be a DVD.
But it's not your show.
For the record,
it's not the actual show. I went to.
We should be looking for you in the crowd.
So for the
no, you should. Because I was not VIP, I wouldn't be in the front row.
Was there a VIP?
Or the second row.
Was there
a
VIP?
I'm sure they had some sort of thing, but I don't know if they did. I wasn't even looking for that. I just bought my ticket like a normal person.
Is it because you're getting older?
Normal person ticket. Didn't have to go to the VIP gold status, platinum. Standing, floating above the crowd. I didn't do that.
John,
walking on water,
levitating you.
Walking on water. No, so I apologize because I only heard it for the first time yesterday, Friday, when music is released.
Typically,
because last Friday I was with Marilla.
Right.
Sorry.
And they didn't. Actually, Steve Hogarth played it for me. It was on his phone. Little did I know he was just playing it off Spotify.
He sang a lullaby.
He sang it to me. He tucked me in.
Yeah, he tucked
it. And left a mint on my pillow. God damn it.
I couldn't have heard it when it was released.
Because you were actually listening to it live.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And that is actually the truth.
That is
so
the truth.
So you scooped me, but I trumped you.
True.
So totally. I heard it from Europe yesterday for the first time, and I was really impressed with it, having seen it live.
Yeah.
And then he has this wonderful outro about, you know, how the new album came to be.
Yeah.
And why this is where we are.
It's kind of funny, though, because the outro is starting to introduce the next song.
I know, it is.
What, does it just fade? Well,
the next part.
Oh, no, he's talking after the song is over.
And then it goes right
Murder Machines
second,
is the next song, because it's all about, you know, you hug somebody and you
can kill
them.
But it will all be released at some point, and we'll go into it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's so weird, because, you listen to the first part, and then he's saying why, and then they don't play Murder Machine. In fact, when you're watching the show, he tells you the story of what's happened during the pandemic, and you know, you're afraid
right
to touch people, and then Murder Machines, and anyway, that was so
I'm looking forward to that because we had experienced it, and I would love to have that as a memento, which is half of the reason why they do it.
Well,
anyway,
we'll talk about it when it's full,
when it comes
when you
out.
Have it in hand,
yes,
and can show it.
Yeah,
I have to do my pre-order. The Super Deluxe Edition.
We're keeping you from that. The Super Deluxe Edition.
Did
for
they
sure.
do Care every night or
no? That if you listen to our first podcast,
I was on a boat.
He was still with Steve Hogarth.
No, that was last year. I was with Rothery that time and Pete. Because remember, Pete.
We talked through the whole thing. They did three different sets every night.
Oh, good. Yeah.
It was three nights in a row. It was fantastic. They're talking about not doing it that way next time because the band doesn't want to do three nights in a row. They're talking about making it a 4-night thing that they do a night and then other bands, and then two more nights.
Okay. Huh. Okay.
And they're like, just throwing that out as a feeler. Right. That people, will people do that still? Because, and they're like, well, if I'm going to Montreal anyway, right, an extra night is not going to kill me.
The one night, is it then, is it like the Steve Rothery band? And or the,
they did not describe who it would be. Because
then they're just defeating it, you
know? Right. No, it would be more of, I think, Prague adjacent bands, okay, or right, similar type bands.
They could get bands that Prague bands that are named after Merlin songs.
Right.
That would be a great theme.
Or they could get bands that
still have Gazpacho.
Yes. No, that's, but they could, no, no. Or they could get bands that Pete plays in.
Right. It's like the set, what is this? Six degrees of
Marillion. That's how you have to be on the stage on that night. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where they're going with that.
Yeah.
But we did enjoy it the last time, but it is, I think you would have to, the concept would be you buy the set, the package.
Right. Cheaper.
Right. I have no idea.
The VIP? You might do VIP
I
for
would,
this no, one?
I don't think I would. Okay. You know me. Fanfare for the common man.
Right, take a train.
Wow. Okay, a big, big train.
Hitchhike to Montreal, yes, to save money.
Start now. Anything else?
Oh, I saw something, speaking of project, that Bill Bruford is doing some sort of talk with the Project X or whatever.
Project. Do you know?
It's Jonathan Mover? Is that Jonathan Mover?
Yeah, okay. Jonathan Mover, Rio, Mike Keneally.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Bruford is doing a talk before one of Bruford, their shows or after they, one of their shows? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of, and you know,
Project.
Michael Sadler singing.
That's what I thought. The Saga guy. I was like, isn't the Saga guy in that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, somehow in the New York show, which I think is at the Sony Theater, Sony Hall.
Bruford's talking.
Bill Bruford's doing a talk. It's just, I don't know if he's just coming for that.
I don't know.
It's in June. Because
there's no VIP.
No. I'm working on that. But, wait.
There might be a VIP. There might be a VIP.
You're right here.
I'm pretty sure.
I put him over here.
I'm pretty sure it's June.
I already have VIP. No. If I tell Jay that I'm thinking about going, he's going to blow me off. That's his MO.
Because then he'll tell me, because I'm doing VIP. It's like $9 million. I'm like, I don't need to see him that bad.
If you have to ask how much it is, you can't afford it.
That's right. How much are the tickets? Sorry.
Exactly. Wrong question. It's like, yes.
Anyway, big fan. They warmed up the Cruise 2 years ago.
Okay.
They were the pre-Cruise band, but they had played in Norwalk at the Wall Theater.
Oh, I remember that.
It was so
good. I didn't go.
It was so good. And it was spectacular.
Yeah. And then, what are they doing?
Well, they only did Prague covers.
Okay.
So, of course, they did Genesis, Crimson, Yes, ELP. And if you look at the set list, it's pretty prolific.
Did they do a Saga tune?
They did not do Marillion. And actually, at Wall Theater, Ron and I went, just the two of us, and we sat in the front row.
Yeah.
And there was a guy who had probably been drinking a lot that day who kept screaming at Michael Sadler, like, to do, you know,
On the Loose,
yeah. Saga. He's screaming. And finally,
don't be late.
Yeah, so finally, and Michael was like, hey, dude, you know the set list. You know, we're doing Rush. We're doing Yes. We're doing Prague. This is the project. We're not doing our own band stuff.
Yeah.
Well, the guy was so belligerent that in between two songs, I just turned and I said, shut the fuck up.
We'll have to bleep
and
that.
The guy,
bleep.
But so a week later, my son and I are at the pre-party for Cruise to the Edge 2 years ago, 2022, and Project has now worked its way down the East Coast, did four or five shows.
Okay. Yeah.
Michael Sadler, walk up to him, and I just said, you know, I just wanted to say, like, that show last week in Connecticut was spectacular. You guys are great. And he goes, I owe you a drink. He bought my son and I a cocktail for telling that guy what to do. He said, that guy was so annoying. I said, I know he was. I was like, you're really, like, you want that t-shirt that says, please excuse the band for interrupting your conversation. You know, so.
So that happens.
I know.
I went, we saw Steve Howe up at Toad's Place one time, and he's just him on guitar, yeah. And he stops the show and he goes, can you guys just stop talking? I get the clinking of glasses and the ice at the bar, but it's a little much.
Oh, yeah.
And then he went on, and everybody cheered, and he went on to continue to play.
And I was hoping, because Saga was on the cruise.
Yeah.
Oh. So Michael Sadler prog.
Oh, did you get to hear On the Loose?
Twice. Got to hear it twice. It was good. I mean, that's it's better live than the studio version of it. It just
I like their stuff, their early stuff through that album, and even a couple after that. And they were one of the bands. This is like fits perfectly into when we were talking about 90s prog, and I was clutching at straws. Anything that was prog, and it would be, but you couldn't listen to anything. It was like, Saga's coming out with a new album, and I was like, whatever the one that pulling the rabbit out of the hat or something, House of Cards or whatever
House
it was called. And I was like, I think I had Walk at it at Brass City, and I remember him saying, he's like, why do you want this? I'm like, it's Saga, and he's like, I'm not sure. It's and then I put on, I'm like, oh man,
and
come on, not- I was it was like, oh, there's one like one song that like half of it's prog, you know.
Yeah,
Wasteland.
And so Prog Jack didn't get on. They weren't part of the cruise in 2022. But Michael Sadler was there for the pre-party concert that they got paid for, I assume. And then a couple of those guys, you know, Mike Keneally was with Zappa Band, was on the cruise. Rio with Spock's Beard is on the cruise. So those guys, Jonathan Mover is like the only player that was. And Matt Dorsey played with Kirshner and a few other people. So the reason why I bring this up is Marco, my son, had never listened to Saga ever, understood all the prog jack because of just growing up with that. And he's like, that guitarist and that singer, he said, now I understand where prog got started, because that guy's doing like Van Halen licks on guitar before Eddie Van Halen was doing it. He's like, he really appreciated Saga and even wished that that's they had been on this cruise last week.
Yeah.
So well, that's there you go. Like what goes around comes around.
Yep. Yeah. I think that's the news.
That's a lot of news. Thank you again, Tim.
Yep. Thank you for having
me. Great to have
me.
You on. Nice, guys. And until the next episode, Prog will find a way.
If you want it to.